Hello, friends. Welcome to our Urban Grace podcast. Today, I am interviewing Drew. Thank you so much for joining us, Drew. Appreciate you being here.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks. So I asked Drew to be here because for those that maybe are not familiar with the podcast, we are interviewing people who have jobs and hobbies that focus on helping people or who have done extensive research on a social justice issue. And Drew is in a professional setting where he helps people. So that is why I asked him to be here today. And we're just going to go after it. Sound good?
Sounds great. And again, I appreciate the invitation. It's an honor to be here. So thank you.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're here for funsies and you want to be here. So what is your official title? And can you kind of give us the rundown on some of your primary responsibilities?
Absolutely. So I am a physical therapist primarily. I also happen to be a physical therapist who owns his own business.
Oh, okay.
So my ownership is my title. I'm the owner of Outpatient Physical Therapy and PNW Sports Institute. We have just under 100 employees. So my job title is dependent on what's going on in that moment, my job duties. I most value helping people, as you mentioned. That's why I got into a healing profession. And being in a leadership position actually allows me to amplify that for our employees.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So you kind of get to take care of patients and employees. So it's kind of a dual taking care of people.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. I like to say that. I like to take care of the people who were taking care of the people we need to take care of. It's a very confusing, but it's an important piece to understand, you know, your force multiplier.
Yeah. I like that. Nice. Question number two I have here is, what is your biggest why in your profession? What keeps you going on this path in your career?
You know, I think there's been seasons where that answer might be different.
Mm-hmm.
So where I sit now, my biggest why is I want to use the skills and the gifts that God gave me and my emotional and mental makeup that God gave me, which is to try. I'm very focused on trying to make other people's experiences better.
Yeah.
And so whether that's through the healing art of physical therapy and using your hands and your exercises for that, or whether it's creating a work environment that people feel like they can thrive and then they take care of people that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But the why is truly about not wasting what I've been given.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. Question number four, I had the chance to read through your website on why people should choose your company for PT. And it said, I'm just going to read a couple sentences here directly from your website. It said, although physical therapists are known to be experts in treating injuries, you do not, it said it in big caps, do not need to be injured to benefit from physical therapy. Physical therapists are also the experts in analyzing and correcting movement and balance, injury prevention, evaluating dysfunction. So we can help people move better, feel better, and recover from injuries and surgeries faster.
Yeah.
End quote.
Yeah.
So this is a really new perspective on PT that I hadn't considered before, because I had always assumed if a person's going to PT, it's because they had an injury or they're like a really serious athlete that is in a competitive sport. So they have to kind of always be keeping up on how their bodies are moving to be in the best shape they can be. But I'm kind of gathering from your website that it's kind of beneficial for everyone, no matter how your body feels, and you don't have to be an athlete. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we have a fairly unique space in the healthcare world that maybe only mental health specialists are on that same area. And that comes down to the amount of time we have and the relationships we create with our clients. So a typical patient is going to come in anywhere from 45 to an hour twice a week for 4 to even up to 12 weeks, depending on their injury. Mm-hmm. So we get to know them. And I think the space there is, yeah, of course, if you're injured, it makes sense, right? But, you know, prevention is a catchword in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a catchphrase, right?
Yeah.
But honestly, and it's not great for business.
Right.
You know, my whole business model is to never have to see you again. If I did my job really well, you would never come back for your own back. Maybe you came back because you hurt your knee now or something like that, but you would never come back for the same injury. That means I really accomplished my goal. So it's kind of a strange business model that's designed to actually extinguish itself, right?
Yeah.
Same with prevention. If you never got hurt, I wouldn't have anybody to treat.
Right.
And yet that is the calling.
Yeah.
You know, that is the goal here. And so getting the tools out that we have that can help with prevention.
Hmm.
A lot of times what's been really interesting is people come in for problem A.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't necessarily know until we got it evaluated and really talked about it is that it was actually caused by problem B, which is the real issue.
Hmm.
And that's something that they've been dealing with for forever. They just assumed there was no answer for. So it's a very rewarding piece in that, too. But, yeah, you do not need to be an athlete. Athletes, I think everybody's an athlete in some level. If you can find out what they love to do and what they want to get back to, that's the definition of why athletes are fun to work with, because they're motivated.
Yeah.
Right?
Preach.
So if I can learn whether you're a gardener and that's what really drives your engine, or if you want to climb Mount Rainier and your knee's bothering you, those people have the same motivation if we ask the right question.
That's great. I love that. Yeah, because it's all about like everyone. Well, not most people move their body in some degree, doing some sport or something they love. Mm-hmm. That's great. I've contemplated, it's interesting, almost had like epiphany a moment while you were talking, because I was like, well, I go to therapy every week and I don't need to go, like a person doesn't need to go through like a traumatic experience to have therapy. It's just good to have.
It's a good life skill, right?
Yeah. And so like, I mean, I need therapy for a lot of reasons, but even if I was like, you know, even if I had an okay life, I still would say every person needs therapy.
Yeah.
So that's like the same kind of argument, like everyone needs therapy in their body too.
Yes.
Especially with how much we use it.
It's an opportunity for all of us to get that next layer of health.
Yeah, that's great. I should probably see a physical therapist because I work out almost every day. So I'm sure there's something that a physical therapist would be like, you need to look at this, you need to look at that. So maybe I should make an appointment sometime at your clinic.
I can hook you up.
Sweet. Thank you. Another question I have for you is, what are some of the biggest obstacles you face or have faced in your job?
Well, my career spans over 20 years, so there's a lot of opportunities to discuss this.
Yeah.
But the one that jumps out, and if my wife was sitting next to me, she'd be like, you're going to talk about that, right? So I purchased the company on February 29th, 2020. So we just had my 4-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And that happens to be leap day.
Yeah.
So you only get to actually celebrate the day every 4 years. But everybody remembers what happened on March 12th. And the way the financial transaction happened, most of the money and savings went out the door with the owner I bought it from.
Mm.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's scary. You know it's going to be tight as long as there's no major disruptions.
Right.
That's literally the sentence.
Yeah.
As long as we don't have any major disruptions, we're fine. Well, the biggest disruption in my lifetime and most of our collective lifetimes happened less than 2 weeks later.
Mm.
That challenge was transformative in its difficulty and its fear level. I mean, everything we had is leveraged.
Mm.
The house, the retirement accounts, everything is the collateral.
Mm.
So to sort out like the grieving process of, wow, this is not at all what we thought it would look like, to I love the movie The Martian, kind of just a random side. But, and there's one point where Matt Damon is basically staring down certain death, and he goes, I'm going to have to science the S out of this, right? This is a bad word. I don't want this to have to be marked as explicit. that's what he came to, is I'm just going to have to science it out.
Yeah.
That's the only way I will survive. And that's where that was the point I got to. I just have to tackle the next thing. Mm-hmm. And so through that process, I broke. I think anybody would have break in that moment.
Yeah.
But then until you truly break, you don't exactly know what you're made of.
Right. Yeah.
And then as you rebuild it and come out of it on the other side, I still am not far enough away from the experience to say I wouldn't have done it any other way. But I'm kind of approaching that.
Like, oh, that's great.
I can see where I'm really grateful for the things I learned about myself and about my coworkers and the company and the kindness of patients. And I mean, it was a very grace-filled experience, even though it was devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the first challenge. Other challenges, I didn't get into PT school on my first try.
Oh, you have to, I didn't realize you, like... Even if you put out the money, say I want to be a student, like you have to go through something first.
So you have a PT now as a doctoral degree. When I graduated, it was a master's. So you got to get your undergrad. I had always done well in school, so I just assumed the next right thing, right? You just apply and then you get in.
Yeah,
I applied, didn't get in. Applied, didn't get in. Applied, didn't. 3 years.
Oh, wow!
And the acceptance rate. Once I learned what I needed to know, which is the acceptance rate is less than 10% for PT schools.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Very challenging program to get into, very competitive program. I realized I needed to maybe alter my approach, and that's how I finally got in.
How did you alter your approach?
I went back and I took some classes that I didn't get A's in, and I redid it.
So you raised your GPA?
I raised my GPA, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, it's amazing. I work with a lot of younger therapists, and... everybody's had a hard road on some level or whatever, but the assumptions of a successful person never having to struggle makes me less approachable. So sharing that piece and letting them know, hey, yeah, you're going to struggle. And you know what? You got into PT school your first try. That's something I never experienced. So congratulations, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the two loud struggles that I would say.
Yeah.
And they both made me want it really bad.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because if it's easy, it's just kind of like you're not as grateful.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I'm learning so much about you right now, Drew. So kind of looking at now the more positive is what is the most rewarding part of your job?
Broadly, it's taking a person from point A to point B and they didn't think it was possible.
That's cool.
Whether that's through leadership or whether that's through healthcare. One of my favorite patient stories is, I learned somewhere along the way that many patients will come in with, one of the questions I'll ask you, Bianca, let's say you're my patient. I'll be like, okay, so what are some of your goals for therapy? And you'll list, I want to walk up hills with less pain or whatever, right? Under that, all that is, I want to hike from the rim to rim trail at the Grand Canyon, right? but you might not tell me that up front. You're going to bring these goals to where something feels attainable to you.
Right.
Through my relationship with you, I'll learn that actually what you want to do is the Grand freaking Canyon, right? Which is a whole nother level of goal that we have to go after. So I had a client who, an older gentleman who had been diagnosed with Parkinson's a couple years prior to me seeing him, and it started to beat him pretty bad. He wasn't doing well. He was now confined to a wheelchair. He was a fall risk. Lovely, lovely human being, right? So much fun to talk to. Taught me stuff every time, but not in like a paternal way, more just like a wise way, right? And I learned through my conversations with him that he was a golfer. His passion. And once he retired, he was a golfer. Well, of course, he hadn't golfed because he's in a freaking wheelchair, right?
Right.
And he had accepted that. He wasn't raging against that. He'd come to peace with that. But as I did some treatments and got to where I could see where his potential was, in the right circumstances, golf was available, right? So it took a couple of weeks before I could make, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver to anybody, right? So you don't just think, oh, you're going to be golfing, don't worry.
Right.
But as he progressed and I saw his capabilities, I'm like, you know what? by June, this was like early spring or late winter.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with them. By end of June, July, we're going to go golfing.
Hmm.
You're going to make this. I guarantee it. Right. And so we started incorporating golf club swings into the picking the ball up off the ground was a challenge, because balance and all that.
Yeah.
Druids Glen on a nice summer day. It was in August. We went a little later and we played 9 holes in a
cart.
And it was unbelievable.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was an unbelievable
experience. So you kept your promise.
Yeah. And he, I mean, just lit up, right?
Oh, man.
So
yeah, when was the last time before that he went golfing? Do you know?
It's a great question. It was at least 5 years.
At least 5 years. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. My last question I have for you is, what advice would you give someone who wants to or is about to start their own journey in starting a company?
Wow. I would ask some of the same questions you asked me. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What drives you?
Mm-hmm.
From my own personal experience, I would say it's a hard enough endeavor that unless you deeply want it, it might beat you.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, beat you.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
It might be more, the idea can't be the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Or the prestige or the title or the potential financial, like that, none of those can be the thing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are people that can prove me wrong on that, but from my experience, it's that deep why of I will own. I think part of my early why is from, you know, like childhood wounding of I don't like authority. The way I was raised made me really struggle with taking feedback the way I had learned how it was being given, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even when somebody delivered it well, it was still, I had to get through so many layers of like filter of like, this person's a bad person and that's why they're saying this to me.
Yeah.
So I think you can turn any of your weaknesses into opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I probably, without that childhood challenge, I probably wouldn't be a business owner.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So my disdain for authority was a big piece of it early, but that deep why do you want it? Do you understand how hard it's going to be? What it would look like? Are you willing to sacrifice? We've gone through periods where we haven't gotten paid. Everybody, you know, we don't have enough margin. We are not getting paid.
Hmm.
Everybody else gets paid. Nobody knows. Nobody knows if I'm getting paid or not. Right?
Yeah.
That's not there. That's not.
Yeah.
But yeah. First in, last out. Sure.
Hmm.
You know, something needs to be done. Who's behind the curtain? Nobody. Oh, it's me. There's a mirror.
Yeah.
You know, like, who needs to learn how to do that? There's the mirror again, right?
Yeah.
So are you willing to say that everything and anything is your responsibility?
Hmm.
If you can look yourself in the face and say, I can pull that off and it's worth it, that benefits way outweigh those negatives. But yeah, that's what I would suggest, is it's a real hard inventory, and trust other people to tell you where your gaps might be. One of the things that I did that I'm really proud of, and I was intentional, but I don't know that I did it knowing that the outcome would be as good as it was I joined ownership groups around the state and around the country, so that I could ask questions. I don't care if people think I'm stupid. I don't know, right? So I just go and ask the questions. I learned so much from them. And you know what else I learned? I'm just as smart and capable as any of these people running these companies that have been doing it. So it's a very leveling experience.
So it's like a support group for other people who are owners of a company?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's a big piece of advice I would offer anybody starting an endeavor, is find a support group that's got some similar. I heard one time that all you need to be as a mentor is to be a week ahead.
Wow, yeah.
and I thought that, I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in that, because they've done something a little bit ahead of you, so you can see what, you know, you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. So that was, those people have been invaluable, and they're still really good friends of mine, and I still hang out with them.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice. That's cool that when you can become friends with mentors.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Drew, learning more about you as a person and your company and all the ways that you help your employees and other people and with their bodies, and obviously the way you've been a mentor to your colleagues. So
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you again soon.